Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Kieron White, one of the founding members of IC Mass Design. As chief technical officer, he is responsible for all technical activity and the development and administration of all training courses. Kieron has been training layout engineers for over 25 years and has completed layout training with over 600 engineers to date. Welcome to the podcast, Kieron.
Thank you for having me, Daniel. I appreciate it.
First, I'd like to ask you, how did you get your start in the semiconductor industry?
I guess in school, probably like most engineers, I was pretty good at maths and physics, so I had a natural interest for it. But I did finish school very early. I finished at 16 because my mom started me early. And my dad worked for a company. My dad was just the facilities guy. He's the guy that opened the factory, closed the factory. And the engineers were the people with the nice cars, the nice suits. And I saw my dad work really hard. Never really a lot of financial reward. So I guess I really wanted to be one of those engineers, the guys that could work hard but succeed. So it was really seeing where my dad worked hard in the factory that made me want to be an engineer. And then my affinity towards maths helped me down that path. So that's where it all started.
Yeah, makes complete sense. Your company's unique. I've been working with you for a while. It's been a great experience. But your training classes seem to be a little different in that they don't focus on actual implementation of layout, but more the theory behind it. Can you give us a little background here on why that is the case?
Sure. Well, first of all, there is a little bit of implementation because I think at the end of the day, understanding theory is great, but you have to be able to go do it. So implementation is not ignored. It's just not the focus. If you look at a lot of layout engineers, and this mirrors my own journey, a lot of us are, when we join a company, we're taught how to do something and we become very good at that. We become habitual around that. So we end up knowing how to do something and we focus on getting better at how to do it and the tools help us. But very often when something goes wrong or there's a challenge or we move to work with a different designer, we don't know necessarily why we're doing it. So as an engineer myself, really, I started off focusing on the why, because I got frustrated working with designer A and they would ask me to do a layout a particular way. And then I would go over and work with designer B. I would do it the same way, but they told me, well, that's not what they wanted. And it was difficult. So I decided very early on in my career to focus on, okay, why are we doing these things rather than just how we're doing these things? And I noticed then that most engineers, layout engineers, really don't understand why, a lot of them. So they become experts in the how, but not the why. And I think that's where we spotted a gap in the market. Really just assuring people that you're doing it the right way, but this is why you're doing it. So if you do meet a challenge, you'll be armed with the tools to address that challenge.
Yeah, you know, I agree with that completely. I have a similar experience. You know, I was on the design side, but we had layout engineers in India, we had layout engineers in Armenia, and they all worked differently. And we really had to set up a structured way to deal with multiple groups in multiple countries. So I certainly understand that.
Even on that point, when we do get these methodologies, very often the methodologies, why they're a really good idea because they standardize an approach. Very often those methodologies are not necessarily driven either out of understanding why, they're just driven out of a necessity to make sure that everybody's doing something the same way. So what we would see is we would go into a company and one company, as an example, would have a methodology that you would surround every single block with a PTAP well ring at the end. And this becomes a habit for everybody. And everybody knows when they finish a block, they do this. So it's standard. But it becomes so standard that 5 years down the line, if you ask a layout engineer or a designer why they're putting this ring in, they've forgotten about why that is. Now, they might guess at it and the guess might be correct, but they're doing it because of methodology rather than knowledge. And again, that's why we kind of challenge a little bit in our training.
So can you give me an example of where you see common misconceptions that are relatively widespread in this area?
Yeah, so one of the things I've noticed, particularly on LinkedIn recently, is a lot of layout engineers are sharing things on LinkedIn. They're sharing theory. Like, for instance, interview questions. Here's a list of interview questions and answers. And I hate this because people will learn the answers by rote. And if they go into an interview and they are asked these questions, they'll get them correct, but they don't know why. Another example of this I saw on LinkedIn, and it's, you know, and I see this in training courses, and I see this in the designs we're working in, would be latch up. So latch up is something we're all rightly nervous of, and where we spend a lot of time trying to improve immunity. But we have these concepts of latch up that aren't necessarily true. So a really simple example is there's a DRC rule that would say an NMOS device has to be within 20 microns of a PTAP contact, or else it will latch up. And now a layout engineer believes, well, it must be within 20 microns. But that's simply not true. For a latch up, you don't just need an NMOS, you need to have the PMOS, you need to have the lateral NPN junction. So, you know, it's a case of following the DRC rule. Of course, we have to do it, but that in itself is not enough. And there's so many theories around latch up that are misconceptions, like what are NWALs, what are PWALs. Another really good example is people will talk about the concept of the feedback loop. So you have a PNP and an NPN, where you have a common base collector junction, and they will talk about having a gain larger than unity, but that means nothing to layout. So they know that the feedback loop has to have a gain larger than one, but how does that map to layout? And without understanding it, you really can't address it in layout apart from relying on what you're told to do. So latch up would be a really good example where there's lots of misconceptions, particularly as we shrink technology nodes.
Right. So what is it about latch up in today's nodes that makes it different from previous nodes?
So taking the unity gain thing, so if you take, for instance, the beta of a transistor, designers will think about the beta as being the ratio of the collector current to the base current, because they're design parameters. But as a layout engineer, that doesn't really mean a lot to me. So as a layout engineer, beta is actually proportional to some physical characteristics. And one of the physical characteristics, it has an inverse relationship to the thickness of the base. So if I basically put an NMOS close to a PMOS, the distance between the NWAL and the NMOS is the thickness of the base. And as the base gets thinner, it becomes a better transistor. So as I shrink technology nodes, I am able to place my NMOS devices closer to my PMOS devices, which means the base of those transistors is decreasing, the thickness of it, so the beta is increasing. So theoretically, they become better transistors, which are easier to turn on and are potentially at more risk of latch up. So as we shrink, the betas would change. Things like the NWAL depth gets thinner, and because the NWAL depth gets thinner, the thickness of the vertical PNP gets thinner, and the beta of that one goes up. So latch up does change per node. Now, of course, that while that seems worrying and people should be aware of it, on the flip side, one of the things that saves us is core voltages go down. To turn on your PNPs and your NPNs, you effectively need the diode voltage for both. So realistically, once you start dropping under 1.4 volts, the risk of latch up decreases. It doesn't go away, of course, but it decreases. So if you got training like me from an engineer 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I'm doing layout now, while a lot of the theory is the same, we really have to adjust our techniques and our approach, because the physical characteristics change, the core voltages change. So ultimately, the whole SCR circuit and the latch up behavior changes, and it's important to adapt our techniques for that.
Right. Yeah. So with all these new risk items you mentioned, shouldn't latch up risk be worse than ever before with these new nodes?
Well, theoretically, because of the higher betas, yes. But the thing I mentioned there is the core voltage, right? I think once you get underneath 1.4 volts, you probably won't have enough voltage to turn on the vertical PNP and the lateral NPN. So the risk decreases significantly. Now, of course, your trigger voltage can be impacted by temperature. I think it's a couple of hundred millivolts per degree Celsius. So if your transistors get hotter, they can turn on easier. And of course, as we shrink technologies, you get into things like self-heating at FinFET, which can impact temperature. But the core voltage really does save us. It's not to say when we get to technologies where we're using supplies less than 1.4 volts, we shouldn't be aware of it. But it's not something we're as panicky about probably as we would be if we were using a technology on 1.8 or 2.5 volts. So yes, they should get worse on one hand, but better on the other. And I think, you know, all things being even, the risk is less, but it's not negligible.
So are you suggesting that people don't need to consider latch-up in their layouts on these nodes?
No, I don't think I definitely wouldn't mean to suggest that. I think awareness is always really important, right? That is the best tool, because ultimately we don't have tools that guarantee us latch-up immunity. We have some tools like PERC that can spot electrical overstress paths and so on, but we cannot completely remove the risk of latch-up. So awareness is key. So at the lower nodes, it's less of a risk, but being aware of it is still important. And indeed, a lot of our customers working on these leading edge technology nodes, it's still a factor in their design and a factor in their layout, but it would not be as big a concern as some of our customers on the larger nodes.
Right. Yeah, you guys must be really busy. We're pushing on the new nodes so hard now, and you know, all of the analog and mixed signal designs are being pushed with it, right? I've never seen this. You know, I've been in the industry for 40 years, but these new nodes are coming so fast. So you guys really have your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just getting older, but things just seem to come so, so quick. In my first company, we worked exclusively for ST Microelectronics, and I was there 7 years. And in the 7 years, we went from 0.5 microns to 0.13 microns, so 130 nanometers. So I think we did three nodes in those 7 years. Since 2019, we have moved from seven, and we're now on 2 nanometers. So they just seem to be coming incredibly fast. And what's interesting is a lot of our customers, not all, of course, but a lot of them moving to these nodes are doing analog layout because that is our specialty. We're not a digital layout group. So, yeah, you have analog teams doing analog layout on largely digital technologies. And it just seems the progression is endless. It's fascinating. You know, I remember the term VDSM, like very deep submicron, and people were talking about that being the limit. We're now talking about angstrom nodes, right? So 16 angstroms, like 1.6 nanometers. It's incredible. It's incredible. Layout people, we like to think we're smart, but the people in the foundries that are doing this are just incredible. Their inventiveness and their ingenuity is just incredible.
Yeah, I agree. Kieran, final question. What would your takeaway message be for layout people moving into these new nodes?
I don't think it's even for these new nodes, Daniel. My message would be, and it's something we start with all our training courses, the very first thing I put up on our training course is be a two-year-old. When I started doing my layout at the very start, I was really curious, like, what does my first chip do? And I can't remember my first chip. Let's say it was a PlayStation controller. And then the next one I asked what it did. I think the longer you do layout, you become a little bit, I guess, jaded or cynical. It's like another op amp, it's another DAC, it's another band gap. And you kind of become cynical, a little bit immune. You stop asking why. And that's what two-year-olds do. If you have a two-year-old, they'll come up to you and ask you why. When you answer that, they'll ask why. When you answer that, they'll ask why. They're just infinitely curious. And I think that's what our training course is really about. It's about trying to be curious again. Don't just do layout. You should always understand what it is you're doing, not just how you're doing it. So try to bring yourself back to those early days where everything was new. be curious, be a two-year-old, and ask why.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have four kids, so I know that one.
I don't have any kids myself, but I have a rule in my house for my nieces and nephews. They can ask me why three times, and then after that, I just send them back to their parents. So I have a lucky kind of escape in that regards.
Yeah. You know, I tell my kids, listen to what people say, but also try to understand why they are saying it, right? So you get the full picture.
I think it's so much more important. Like, you know, you can... In Ireland, our education system is terrible. You learn by rote. You just learn by memory. And that's why I was so good in school. I wasn't good at subjects. I just had a good memory. Learning things off, yeah, it's fine. But understanding is so important.
Right. Great conversation, Ciarán. Thank you for your time. And it's a pleasure meeting you. And I'd like to have you on again. I mean, there's a lot to talk about here.
Daniel, I love talking about layouts, so anytime, but thank you very much for having me. It's very much appreciated.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.